The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning. Hope all is well with you. Is your power on or not? Hopefully you're holding up okay and you have some alternative sources of heat. We got a lot of power issues going out here in Southern Oregon. In Jackson and Josephine County, we were at 10 or 11,000 last night, and then that ended up getting knocked down. Places in Gold Hill and a few other areas that had been out ended up coming back on a little bit later in the evening. But Jacksonville out in the Applegate area, kind of an Applegate, Rouche, going into Murphy, all those sort of areas. And in Jackson and Josephine County, still about 3,200 Pacific Power customers without power. And they are just working crazy. One of my sites in Jacksonville still without power. And it's kind of funny. In these winter storms, I've gotten to the point where you start doing the Pacific Power two-step, right? The power goes off at, in fact, the power that I'm speaking of at this one site went off at noon. Right about noon. And so I call Pacific Power and get in and said, hey, just to give me the notifications on when things are going to get back on. And then first it's like 3 o'clock. We'll have it back on by 3:30. Okay, three and a half hours, no problem, right? And that's not a big deal. I think we can work with that just fine. And then 3 o'clock comes, and then Pacific Power calls on their little automatic. Well, we think it'll be back on by 6:30. Thank you. And so I hang up. And then at 6:30, well, now we're looking at 9:30, and then at midnight. And then it's just like, okay, no, forget about it. I know. Now, finally, sometimes I wish Pacific Power would be able to just say, you know, given what's going on and the snow coming on, we think it's going to be 12 hours from now. I think they get your hope up too soon in many cases. Yeah, we have it back on by 6:30. And so I just start doubling or tripling whatever they're saying. And I'll catch you a little bit later. Maybe you'll see me hiking up into Jacksonville a little bit later this morning after I get off the air. So that's what's been going on with me. The roads are actually not horrible in most of the cities, except kind of slushy. It's the side streets that are just an excrement show. And when I got home yesterday, I ended up chaining up the PT because I almost couldn't get up my street on Viewpoint. And because the snow was so deep at that point that it was just smooshing up underneath the car body because I don't have a lot of clearance on that. And, you know, PT Cruiser, relatively low to the ground. There's, you know, what, about 5 inches, maybe 4 or 5 inches of ground clearance. That's all. So you get stuck. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to do the tire chains right now at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because I would sure rather do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon than do it at 4 in the morning. And so I come out at 4 this morning, and other than the side streets, the streets weren't that bad, just slushy. But still, take it easy. I'm still trying to figure out why the picture cam at Delta Waters and Highway 62 took my picture this morning. I was only doing about 10 miles an hour through the intersection. Maybe they're going to give me a ticket for going too slow. Maybe that's the next little way of making money in the ODOT and Medford traffic cam sort of thing. I don't know. Isn't that kind of weird? Sometimes you'll see that thing that seems to snap a picture for no reason at all. I don't quite understand that. Maybe someone could explain that. Anyway, number here, 770-563-3770-KMED. Are you holding up okay this morning? Yeah. So overall power outages at this point, 3,200 in Jackson and Josephine County, 5,200 in Klamath County. Klamath County is practically completely shut down today. And even all the most of the state government offices are closed. State government offices in Jackson and Josephine County are on a late start this morning. So around 10 o'clock is when they're going to be opening up, just so you know. Most schools, I don't know of any schools that are open this morning. It'd probably be easier to say which ones are open. So you know that, and that's kind of how we're rolling this morning, okay? If you wanted to join in on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-563-3770-KMED. I had someone who wrote on my Facebook page yesterday and was complaining about it and said, you know, does the city of Medford even have snowplows? And I think it was, Chris was great. That's fine. I don't know if the complaint is reasonable. Last time I checked, I think the city only has 3 or 4 snowplows. And people will say, well, why do we only have 3 or 4 snowplows? Because a weather event like this is pretty rare. It's not like Klamath Falls, where you have valley or city-level snow routinely. You know, around here, it ends up being a big thing. It's a rarity. You know, the kids are out on the street making, or out in their yards making snow angels on my street. They're just having a great time. And one of the, Shiloh, the next door kid, is yelling at me, Bill, what do you think about this weather? I said, it's not all right. He says, isn't it great? I said, it's okay. Well, why don't you like it? I said, because I have to drive in it. That's what my mom said, too. I had to laugh. That's such a thing. For the kids, it's always such fun. And so just enjoy the fun for them. But, that's how it goes. We just don't have enough of this most of the time. And I imagine that most folks would be even more upset if they knew that there was, we have 20 snowplows in Medford, let's say. But we only get to use them every 3 or 4 years. They've deteriorated, and we're going to have to raise your utility fees, to replace them. People wouldn't hang with it. 4 is all you need, and then you have to just plow out the main routes on the side streets. We kind of have to just work at it. Josephine County does not appear to be hit as heavy for the most part. Could be right about that, but it could be wrong, I should say. Looking at the roads this morning, the chains are still required on Interstate 5 if you're going over the Siskiyous. It's still pretty bad in that particular area. Chains required on all vehicles unless you're four-wheel driving and you're towing. But even then, four-wheel drive may not necessarily save you. They even talk about that on tripcheck.com. So it's going to be a bit of a digging out process. But it's already pretty slushy and smooshing down even right now. But take your time. I was actually kind of proud of Southern Oregon drivers yesterday, observing them, because you know what I didn't see when all the snow was coming down on the city streets? I didn't see the pickup truck jerks to the same extent. There is something about a four-wheel drive pickup truck that tends to operate around city streets in the snow and ice as if they are invincible. I mean, sitting there rolling coal, flooring it, doing things like that, just passing people unsafely. You see it. We've all seen stuff like that. I didn't see a lot of that yesterday. People were pretty orderly and just taking it easy and doing 20, 25, getting around there, understanding that not all vehicles are four-wheel drive. In fact, all four-wheel drive does is give you the ability to have more traction to get moving. Does not help you stop anymore. And maybe some 4x4s ended up figuring that out over time. But I didn't see quite as much jerkish behavior on the roads. Did see quite a few cars spun out, though. I'll tell you that much. 18 minutes after 6. We'll go over some of the other headlines here this morning. Dr. Carol Lieberman's going to join me. We're going to talk about some D.C. politics, why it is so important for RFK Jr. to get confirmed. And I have mixed emotions about this because I don't really like RFK Jr. And I know that might be blaspheming for some folks here in Southern Oregon. I don't think RFK Jr. is a good man, but he may be the right man for this particular job over at HHS. So I'm having to kind of stuff my distaste for RFK Jr. away or push it aside for perhaps a I know something that the left always talks about, the greater good. Maybe it's right in this particular case, but I'll talk with her, get her medical opinion about this and a whole bunch more. And also that crazy story, Yee with his wife or girlfriend at Grammys or whatever it is, she's naked. What's that all about? I'm sure that she could give me a psychological take on that. Well, the legal system going after the city of Grants Pass again. We'll talk about that story here in a bit, along with anything else that's on your mind. On Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, this is The Bill Myers Show.
Are you a renter? Do you know that for the price of a pizza, you can purchase insurance to protect your life's...
22 after 6. It ain't my fault, but it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633. One of the early risers of our crew here, cast of characters, Minor Dave. not mining at the moment. In fact, I don't know what you're up to at the moment here. Do you ever get your house back
up? Well, I'm kind of snowed in. I got 6 inches of snow Sunday night, and then it partly melted off, but then we got more snow. But I got out to get groceries, so I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, you were telling me, though, that there is some weird story going on. I haven't seen this reported yet, but well, supposedly it's all over YouTube and various other places. What is it?
It's supposed to be public. It's the aircraft that the Air Force has got that they do for mapping out plans of attack. They can either direct ground forces like the 101st Air Rangers, right, the Screaming Eagles.
Now, is that kind of like the old AWACS planes or something, or is that something different? Dave? I think we lost Dave. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Oh, this is Disgruntled Jay.
Well, hello, Disgruntled Jay. How are you this morning?
Oh, man, I was just want to brighten and lighten up your day, man, and just give you a little joke. I mean, it's...
Jay?
Kicking a...
Jay, did I ask for any jokes this morning?
Huh?
Did I ask for any jokes this morning, Jay?
No.
Okay. So... I don't know. I don't know. Are you in a joke kind of mood? I don't know if I'm in a joke kind of mood this morning. Are you?
I want to light and brighten up your day. That's all.
Oh. Okay. How about later? All right?
All right.
Okay. You know, sometimes I feel like, getting off topic. Other times I'm kind of like going over the news and... First, we lost Minor Dave and the AWACS and the Signal Intelligent Plane or something. I'm just not going to answer the phone here for a few minutes. Just has to happen this way. All right. Now then, probably the top national story right now is still the eviscerating and the shutting down of USAID. Last week, President Donald Trump took executive action, freezing the vast majority of all foreign aid payments made through this. And it is just absolutely astounding. This may be, I was kind of wondering if this was going to be a big deal or not, because anytime you hear payments, I should say, or federal spending being cut, you're wondering, okay, this is just going to be on the margins, right? Well, I really like to go to Sean Ring over at The Rude Awakening. I like going to the money people because the money people don't tend to have a political bent. They're always looking at what works and what will make money. And what makes money is usually what will actually work. And Sean had a piece this morning saying, although the Donald has only been in office for a month, I feel like I've written a year's worth of political correspondence. Not only has he been a ubiquitous presence on the world's television screens, but his chief henchman is doing yeoman's work on behalf of the people. I'm, of course, referring to Elon Musk, whose Aspergers has been thrown into sixth gear with his ascendance to the top of DOGE, or the Department of Government Efficiency. Took him 5 minutes to dispose of Vivek Ramaswamy, which should have given us a clue as to how he'd get stuck into the task. The task was to save $2 trillion, which quickly became $1 trillion, but at this pace, I wouldn't be surprised if he cuts three. Congressional conniptions notwithstanding, Elon has eviscerated Deep State's slush fund, commonly known as USAID. And it's utterly glorious, Sean writes. The war party suddenly has rabbit ears for pockets, and no one knows how they'll finance the next coup. That's really what USAID was all about, really. Money ends up going into various slush funds, and it's very difficult to track. Elon figured this out, and then Trump says, okay, kill it, that sort of thing. What's really interesting, though, and this is what Sean ends up detailing, are some of the people who are helping Elon Musk do this, and I think it's worth knowing. And one of the guys is named Luke Ferritor, one of the young geniuses currently at DOGE, going over the U.S. finances. This is from an X post that Sean was saving. And it's not just Elon Musk with his Asperger's. Even himself says he's on the spectrum. He has about four or five other people who are on the spectrum, like high-functioning, not quite autistic, but able to focus their brain in really interesting ways. Luke Ferritor is one of the young geniuses currently at DOGE going over the U.S.'s books. He wrote a computer program that could decipher ancient texts from burnt scrolls recovered from Herculaneum. So, in other words, big brains. And there are five more brains just like his. And when you get a bunch of them together with a mission, you can figure there's going to be enough brain power to burn down a capital. And that's exactly, I think, what Elon Musk is doing right now. So this is good news, I think. It's interesting, though, to also go and look at Trump's enemies. And for that, I go to Axios. Axios is no friend of the Trump administration. And the Axios report this morning, the big thing, Trump's vanishing guardrails. President Trump and Elon Musk promised to break Washington. No one thought it would look this easy. Axios' Zachary Basu writes, Trump 2.0 has already laid waste to democratic norms, precedents, and even some laws. Paralyzed by the breath of disrupting, many of the president's demoralized critics have been left sputtering, he can't do that, and yet he is. And with a popular mandate, unified control of Congress, a pliant Republican Party, a struggling opposition, and the resources of the world's richest man, there are few guardrails to curb Trump's maximalist agenda. I don't think I ever heard them once say anything about Joe Biden's flurry of executive orders, redefining gender and all the rest. But I get, you know, they like that stuff, right? Short of a court order, Axios says Trump's opponents have so far failed to stop him from bending and breaking the limits of presidential authority. Musk's allies orchestrated a physical takeover of the U.S. Agency for International Development, ousting security officials who tried to stop them from accessing classified spaces. With the USAID employees locked out of their accounts and Musk vowing to shutter the evil agency, Secretary of State Marco Rubio took over as acting administrator and notified Congress of a potential reorganization. So, once again, the Democrats are just absolutely going nuts on this. Speaking of which, Rubio telling Fox News he had no choice but to bring USAID under control after the agency takeover because of rank insubordination. They were spending money and doing things and just absolutely ignoring every order that was given to them by the Trump administration. There's also another story about Rubio that I think I misplaced. Let me see if I still have it in my notes up here, too. Yeah, I'll get it in just a second here. I know I can do this. Give me just a second. It had to do with, here it is. This is it. This is a story that I haven't read much in United States press at all. Nothing at all. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says they've now cut a deal with El Salvador. El Salvador's president has now offered to accept people that we deport from the United States of all nationalities, as well as violent American criminals now imprisoned in the United States. It's the most unprecedented, extraordinary migratory agreement anywhere in the world, according to Rubio. Hasn't been getting a whole lot of likes for whatever reason. He also offered to do the same thing for dangerous criminals currently in custody and serving their sentence in the United States, even though they're U.S. citizens or legal residents. So I don't know. Is this going to be sort of a another version of Gitmo in El Salvador instead? Maybe this is looked at as a business proposition from the president of El Salvador. But still, quite interesting. I was thinking if El Salvador is going to be taking violent criminals and all the other miscreants, maybe we could take those people who were banging on the police cars up in Salem over the weekend and saying, ICE, keep your hands off our migrants. They need to stay here. You know, illegal aliens, you know. How dare you try to deport illegal aliens, right? Yeah, Senator of El Salvador. Hey, would you like a vacation in El Salvador? I understand the weather is nice there this time of year. It's 6:32. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
When it comes right down to it, when we
both and the Oregon Nurses Association have reached a tentative agreement for workers at the women's clinics, voting is now underway. Bill London, KMED.
6:33. Deplorable Patrick here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Wanted to talk about Trump's actions. By the way, before you do that, Patrick, I wanted to say, the Blancaliero, that airplane guy that you had me look at on YouTube, And that was a great report on what happened on the D.C. crash last week. Good stuff.
He's very diligent. He goes right into it. Anytime there's an accident, he makes a video. He's a co-pilot on a 777 Boeing, flies all over the world. And so, anyway, yeah, he's a good source.
Yeah. The other thing that that he ended up mentioning is that, and I agree with him, that they're just going to end up separating helicopter traffic from the mainstream air traffic, you know, coming in and out of Reagan. That makes a lot of sense. It's kind of stupid that they've kept it going this long, really, the way they have been.
Yeah, I think what you meant was you agree with him and me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But, it makes no sense to have helicopters flying underneath and or behind commercial airliners coming in and out of that airport. It's just an accident waiting to happen. It looks like it's been, you know, looked at for a long time that way.
If you were a passenger in that airplane, that jet, and you looked out your right window and you saw a helicopter flying under you 200 feet, you would not like it.
No. And once again, this is an unforced error, really. This is what you would call an unforced error, something that should have been picked up a long time ago. But you know why no one's touched it? Because it has to do with the VIPs. Most of those helicopters that are flying around that area are escorting VIPs to various places in the swamp. And that's what that's all about. They don't want to have to drive. And that's why.
I can't believe more pilots flying in that way haven't spoken up over the, past year or whatever long and said, this is not right.
Yeah, well, you know, nothing changes until somebody dies. You know how that goes, you know, with various procedures. So what about Trump? Trump taking it on. You wanted to mention something about that. I want to give you a quick bite of that.
Yeah, I just think we got a man of action in the White House getting things done and a bunch of Democrats out there sputtering, you can't do that. And I think it's an appropriate time to remind everybody of what Barack Obama said right after he won office. I don't know if it was the first time he was elected or second time, but his message to conservatives was, we won, you lost, shut up.
And also, wasn't there another comment, I have my phone and pen, right? My phone and my pen?
Yeah. So good. Now it's our turn. It's as simple as that.
Works for me. Appreciate the call, DP. Thanks for making it. 6:36. Dr. Carol Lieberman joins me. We're going to talk about the RFK Jr. nomination, how that's looking next.
With SRN News, I'm at
106.3 KMED.
6:38, Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, known as America's psychiatrist, board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist, best-selling and award-winning author of several books. She's written chapters and forewords for books, including Missing Without a Trace, Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Tragedy in Sedona, and Divorcing a Narcissist. Also author of the upcoming book, Murder by TV, A Descent into Madness. And let's talk with her right now. Doctor, it's great to have you back on the program. How are you doing this morning?
Always my pleasure.
I wanted to ask you, how are things going with your recovery from the L.A. fires? Last time I talked to you, you were stuck in a motel and weren't sure if you were going to get to go back home. Or what was the status? Did your house survive at all at this point?
A hotel, but it was still pretty bad.
Yeah, did I say motel? Pardon me. Yeah, I know you're higher class. You're a hotel girl. All right.
Right. Well, thank God that my house did survive.
Good.
But, you know, it really is amazing. And I feel so experiencing what I experienced. And of course, my house was destroyed, not by fire, but with ash and so on in 2018, the Woolsey fire. And I'm still not back in it because I'm still taking me all this time to deal with insurance and a whole bunch of things. So I really can feel what it must be like. I mean, it's for people who just totally lost everything. It is really, I mean, you know, whenever there's a fire or even there's just a report we might be having, this is fire weather kind of thing, it brings back memories for all of us in Malibu who and other places where there were fires before. And so the psychological part of it is horrendous, even just to the extent that I've experienced this.
The California fires have kind of fallen off the news radar over the last few days because other things have been going on. How would you describe the scenes right now? Are we into just lots of rains and mudslides? And we just haven't heard a whole lot about it these days.
Well, we did get rain, but it wasn't as bad as they were predicting. I mean, you know, some people use sandbags and so on, but it wasn't like after the Woolsey fire where it was a really huge, there were mudslides for days.
That's good.
Excuse me.
All right.
So no, that isn't so bad. It's just, you know, the other part of it is, and that because, you know, for kids, like the schools were closed and so on. And so they were trying to figure out how to get the kids back into the schools. And it's not just, I mean, besides all the devastation, even for people who didn't lose anything, but who normally drive down PCH, the beautiful PCH, I haven't done it yet because I've seen pictures of what it looks like. And that's bad enough. I mean, they keep opening and closing the road anyway.
Yeah. In other words, a Pacific Coast Highway, instead of being the jewel, is now depressing then, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Boy.
Seeing these things burned. It's just, I haven't brought myself to do it yet.
Yeah. My wife, Linda, ended up growing up in a home on Pacific Coast Highway, a rental home. There was just a little home. I mean, you know, now it was like a $2 or $3 million home now, even though it's not that big. And according to what she's hearing, she heard that it burnt, you know, in that, you know, in the fire. So one of her childhood homes that she had grown up in, it was really something to see this. Why don't we shift the gears? But I guess, though, has competency returned, you know, to the government in L.A. and the surrounding communities, or is it still a bunch of finger pointing that is going on?
It has not returned.
Okay.
In fact, I just tweeted this morning, "Help! I'm a prisoner in Newsom's California." First, he starts the fires. Next, he puts $50 million towards fighting Trump and defending illegal aliens, making California worse. Globalist Newsom and Mayor Karen Bass must go before California is totally destroyed.
Yeah, there was definitely some poor choices made in politics in California, for sure. Of course, the same thing happens here in Oregon. And the challenge I think you run into when you're talking about the ideological divides, you know, people will say, I'll bet people will say to you, you Californians, you elected Newsom, you deserve him, or Karen Bass or anyone else, right? And it'd be just like someone coming up to us in Southern Oregon and saying, hey, you elected Tina Kotek. Hey, I didn't elect Tina Kotek. Just a bunch of other people did. Do you ever have to have that explanation? We're not all crazy in these states, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sometimes people. I mean, I have said that myself to someone who was on the campaign of Karen Bass. I said, now look what you did.
Yeah, see, I told you. You'd tell your friend who was on the campaign,
exactly.
Right?
All right.
Well, sorry to hear that. California is such a beautiful state, just like Oregon, but being run by idiots, unfortunately, still. I want to do a shift it, though, to the nationwide Senate confirmation hearings of the last few days. And, of course, RFK Jr. And you're really going to the mat for RFK Jr. I wanted to find out what your thinking was on this. And I'll tell you right now, Dr. Lieberman, I don't like RFK Jr. There's something about him that bugs me or creeps me out a little bit. I don't think he's necessarily a good man, but I'm thinking he may be the right person for the job. And so I kind of have to just stuff the part of my personality doesn't like him for some reason. How are you evaluating his chances right now?
Well, he's had a tough time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want him to get the nomination, to be confirmed as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. I've watched some of the confirmation hearings, and I feel like going in there and hugging him. It is so pathetic how the senators are just, not all of them, of course, but a lot of them, the ones who were paid most by Big Pharma, are just destroying him, trying to destroy him. I mean, he's been holding up fairly well, but
I don't think they've really been able to dent him much, at least, especially when you're able to come back and you see how much, you know, I was joking the other week that maybe they should have NASCAR jackets on all the senators, you know, so that way we could see, you know, who sponsors them. And you'd be amazed how much pharma money is in those senators going after him.
Especially Bernie Sanders. Right. He gets the most and he's been the worst. But there have been others, too. It reminded me of George Orwell's books, you know, where the pigs, the animals are yelling at each other. And I mean, they don't give them enough time to answer the question. And they especially, that what the worst part of it is, they kind of take advantage. This is like the secret thing that they're sharing, that they all kind of recognize, is that because of his speech problem, it takes a little longer for him to get the words out because it takes a lot of energy. And they take advantage of that, you know, to jump in and say, well, yeah, we can go move on to something else, like pretending that, well, he didn't have an answer or his answer wasn't any good.
Yeah, that's the technique. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's right. They were doing that. Of course, though, you have some of the senators that have speech impediments, like our Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, you know, with a lisp. How about those two having a podcast, huh? Yeah, but in all seriousness, though, do you think they laid a glove on him here, or does it look like he's going to make it? And what is the positive aspect of getting him in as HHS secretary, you think, that we would most find important?
The thing that they're mostly talking about vaccines, and they are mischaracterizing what he has said about vaccines. Now, he has said different things at different times when he's had more information and when different things have been going on. You know, like before COVID, he was talking about other vaccines, and then COVID. And of course, he's right about COVID. I mean, the COVID vaccine, I was shocked that any senator would try to say that the COVID on this day and in this day and age, like after we have seen all of the different problems that the COVID vaccines have caused, cancer, cardiac problems, all different things. I mean, there's you're under a rock if you haven't seen these reports about all these different problems that people are dying from.
And also the rise of unexplained deaths that tend to be mysteriously, you know, similar to side effects from certain vaccine manufacturers.
Exactly. So they're trying to say that, first of all, that he, you know, wants to get rid of all vaccines. And when his main thing is getting rid of the vaccine mandate, he says, and I've been saying this, you know, ever since COVID started, I've been telling people, I mean, I still have it and I don't plan on getting the COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. I don't get the flu vaccine. I never have gotten the flu vaccine. You know, I think, why do you put this stuff into your body? And it turns out, of course, that it really is dangerous. So, but they're trying to make it all about, you know, he's about all about vaccines. He doesn't want his kids to get vaccines. And he has said his kids have gotten vaccines. I mean, not necessarily COVID vaccines, but like the, you know, measles, mumps and that kind of thing, which I still think is ridiculous because when I grew up, we had measles and mumps and chickenpox. And most, you know, I don't remember the exact percentage, but most children did not die from these things. But in any case, he wants to have all vaccines analyzed more studies on them. Also, they were trying to get him to come up with a quicker solution for school shooters. And, you know, I've talked about, I actually testified in Congress about school shooters and media violence in general, and then especially video game violence.
Yeah, have you ever testified about the potential role of psychotropic drugs and how that always seems to be swept under the rug? And usually if we have a school shooter who was on psychotropic drugs, we'll say, well, you know, he was a school shooter because he was mentally ill and crazy, and that's why he was on psychotropic drugs, not that the psychotropic drugs might have had any influence there. What do you think?
Well, and that's one of the things also that he wants to study, that he didn't want to give a quickie answer to. And I actually don't think that it is primarily the fault of the drugs, the SSRIs.
All right.
It's the fault of, I mean, yes, I think it is the underlying psychological problem that the person has, but also it's because everybody, you know, psychiatrists are just giving out prescriptions. It's like they're candy. And so when someone gets medications and then they aren't in psychotherapy at the same time to get to the root of whatever is wrong with them, then yes, all kinds of things can happen with medications, you know, especially like if the psychiatrist says, okay, take this and come back in 3 months. Well,
yeah.
3 months, they could be dead.
Well, I told you about my relative, you know, I think last time we had broaching this up, my late father-in-law was just given psychotropic drugs by his general practitioner, who just said, you're a little depressed, I got some happy pills for you, you know, that kind of thing. And
yes,
he had severe side effects from it, and they were violent side effects. They were giving him violent thoughts. So it's nothing unusual, apparently. He stopped taking them immediately, of course. It was okay, you know, after that. But you're saying so psychotropic drugs have a role to play in treatment, but not just psychotropic drugs and then we go away, psychotropic drugs and you are talking this out and working through the other problems through treatment, right? That kind of thing?
Right. And not everybody, even like with depression or whatever it is, needs psychotropic drugs. You know, sometimes the therapy alone is enough. But yes, you know, you're always supposed to see the person, certainly within the week after you give them some kind of medication. But these days, you know, that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
Then also RFK promises to rescind Biden's ruling about doctors who receive federal funds must provide gender-affirming care. Now,
That's a biggie. Yes,
that is an outrageous rule. You know, of course, lots of Biden's rules are outrageous. But and now, finally, more and more doctors, hospitals are recognizing that so-called gender-affirming care is not necessarily good or the best thing to do. I mean, first of all, they're just putting kids in these programs, hormones and surgeries and all of that, if the kid says they're unhappy, you know? So you get a choice, either happy pills or you get things lopped off.
Yay. Okay. You know, I'm just wondering here, doctor, what do you think about this? Now, I know as a psychiatrist and as an MD, you would probably take a dim opinion of trial lawyers, especially malpractice trial lawyers.
No, I wouldn't, because I'm an expert witness.
Oh, okay. All right. That's right. They pay you on the other side. Okay, fine. I forgot about that part of it. Okay, you're right. But, you know, I'm wondering if ultimately this insanity of the gender-affirming care thing, which, of course, is still going to be pushed in states of like Oregon and California and various other crazy states, that sort of thing. But I can't help but wonder that I just wonder if it's going to be the trial lawyers going after all of the kids who have been persuaded unnecessarily that will end up fixing this.
Yes. The more people who have received gender-affirming care and who are now detransitioners, who have now realized, oh, my God, this was the worst thing I did, they are more and more of them are coming after the doctors who did this to them, as well they should. Because doctors are just, you know, seeing somebody for an hour and deciding, oh, yes, and, you know, yes, you really were born in the wrong body. I mean, malpractice, absolutely.
Well, I'm looking forward then. So ultimately, you're giving your stamp of approval, you know, at this point then to RFK Jr., probably the best that we're going to get. And at least, like I said, I'm just having to get away from the fact that I just don't think he's a real good guy, especially to other to women in his life. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, yes, he is. He is a flirt. And yes, he has had affairs. OK.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there are some doctors. There's apparently a group of doctors who have come out against him. And it's kind of like it reminds me of this group of doctors, like mental health professionals, who came out against Trump both times or all the times that he ran. And they claimed that he was crazy, you know, basically. And now these doctors are claiming that RFK Jr. is wrong and is dangerous. And it's you know, they if you ask them details of what really he wants to do and why he wants to do it, they couldn't tell you. Same thing with Trump. They diagnosed him as malignant, being a malignant narcissist. And of course, that's not true. And by the way, I was at the inauguration.
Oh, how was that?
It was amazing. Amazing. It was like a feast of patriotism. It was just I was invited to the Capital One Arena part of it. I was not in the Capitol per se, but and it was just, you know, of course, everybody there was thrilled to that Trump was being inaugurated, that Trump won. And it was so, we were singing patriotic songs, and there was the Megatron and, you know, showing the first part of it, the actual inauguration in the Capitol and all that. and people were booing when they saw Biden and and Kamala and Obama, and of course cheering with Trump and J.D. Vance. But you know, and somebody said to me afterwards, well, I was telling the story, and they said, well, isn't that a little childish? And yeah, you could say that, but you know, it was like with such enthusiasm, such relief that yes, you know, with all this work and all this, like getting all the things that Trump got through.
All the odds that were against him getting back in there. Right. Yeah, I get it. There's certainly a sense of relief. Hey, before we take off, though, I want to shift gears here for just a second, because you, of course, are the guardian of America's mental health, right? We know this.
So I've heard, yeah.
Okay. Can you describe what was going on with Yi, you know, that guy, and I think her name is Bianca Censori,
yes,
who is, supposedly is his wife now, and she... And he brings her into the Grammy Awards on Sunday, nude. And now I know that everyone's always looking for a way to get clicks and social media likes or something like that. But this is kind of a new, this is kind of a new high or new low, I guess, if you want to call it that. Why do you think she, you know, kind of lets him do that? Isn't that kind of weird, weird thing?
Well, you know, she may be thinking that, and yes, you talked about getting clicks. I tweeted about that yesterday. I got 4,200 clicks. Uh-huh. I wrote domestic abuse. Kanye West stooped to new low by making Bianca Censori wear nothing at Grammys, not only to remind people of Vulture album cover and get the most attention, but to show us he has complete control over his woman. Kim Kardashian dodged a bullet. I mean, you know, I think that she thinks that Bianca thinks that, you know, that this is cool and that, you know, she loves the attention and all of that. And perhaps she's hoping, you know, thinking that this will make her career. She's famous now and all of that. However, really, he is an abusive man and he is controlling her. And he is taking delight in showing everybody that he has such power over women that he can even make a woman, you know, walk into the Grammys nude. And he's doing this in part still to get back at Kim Kardashian for divorcing him. Like, he's trying to say, oh, okay, you want to divorce me, look what these other women will do.
That's true. Wow. Something tells me we're going to hear about Bianca in a rehab program within the next 4 or 5 years. What are the odds? You want to lay some odds on that?
I think that is very likely. Absolutely. It's really sad. And her family was trying to get her away from him. But I was just reading about how now they're kind of standing up for her. I mean, you know, of course you want to stand up for her, but the best thing you could do for her is to get her away from him.
As you have said, though, didn't you even write a book about bad boys? How there are some women that just love the bad boys for some reason?
Yes. And the main reason is because they have a dysfunctional relationship with their father. Growing up, they had that. And that made them feel unlovable. So they feel they don't deserve a prince. They just deserve these bad boys. And, you know, and there are 12 different types of bad boys. And I have to figure out which, I guess, Kanye, well, yeah, he's a Mr. Power Mad, or he's a Prince of Darkness, probably, like OJ.
Yeah.
You know, there's Mr. Power Mad that wants control, but then there's Prince of Darkness, who is lethally abusive.
Yeah. Well, what's going to be next for someone like a Bianca? What will be the next thing? How do you take it to the next level after you've walked into the Grammys nude? I don't know.
There's nothing left to show.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me, I don't know, did you ever watch Looney Tunes when you were a kid?
Yes.
Okay. You have to remember the one about Daffy Duck trying to get the attention in the circus or whatever it else. And he swallows gasoline and lights himself on fire and blows up. And they're saying, that's a great act. That's a great act. And he says, yes, but I can only do it once.
I actually missed that one. That's too bad.
Oh, man, you got to look it up. You got to look it up. Anyway, Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, I thank you so much for joining in here. I'm glad to hear that things are starting to return to normal, at least in your fire-ravaged life there in Southern California. Best place for people, probably terroristtherapist.com, your main website.
Exactly.
All right. Doctor, thanks so much. Be well.
All right. Thank you.
It's 7 o'clock. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. KBXG Grants Pass.
Are you a renter? Do you know that for the price of a pizza?
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Town Hall News coming up here in just a minute. More of your calls. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hey, Bob, you're having trouble with your dish system or things are not working right. What's going on this morning, huh?
Yes. We're on Dish, which a lot of people are in this area. And we're completely out of anything that's going on as far as the road conditions and things like that. And I was just wondering if you could maybe encourage the audience out there to call in and kind of give us some ideas what's going on out there as far as the road conditions.
Okay, what would Dish have to do with road conditions, though? Just kind of curious.
What's that now?
What would Dish have to do with road conditions?
I can't get any news. That's what I'm trying.
Okay. Well, I can give you an idea on that. Now, tripcheck.com, the worst place that I can see this morning here, Bob, where do you live, by the way?
Over in West Medford.
Okay, West Medford. All right, not a problem. The side streets are still really slushy this morning for the most part. And Interstate 5, though, is relatively clear until you get to milepost 10 through 1 up in that area. If you're going over the Siskiyous, you got to be chained up. That's pretty much the way it is. Highway 199 is smooshy and slushy in places, but it's not looking horrible. The big four passes north of Grants Pass seem to be relatively clear at the moment. And so the worst of it, though, is going to be probably on the side streets of West Medford. And you say your dish isn't working. Is there snow in your satellite dish? Because we had to yesterday, just to keep the radio station on the air, Bryce, my colleague here, had to sweep out the satellite dish because the snow was so thick in it, it would have cut the signal off. And if you have that on your dish, a big, thick layer of snow or ice on it, that would have to come off. That's what's doing it.
I'd like to do that, but I'm 83 years old.
Oh, okay. So you're not getting up on a ladder and getting a broom on it.
Really hard time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's looks like it's going to be above freezing today. So hopefully, what that'll do is it'll melt off and it should kind of cure itself. I'm hoping. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
That's kind of a dumb one because it's really cold. But what would happen if I took, say, a water hose? Because, like I say, I can't get up there. Took a water hose and blasted it with a water hose to knock off the snow. Would that work, or would that even make it worse?
Oh no, that I don't think it would be a good idea if you knew we were going into frozen periods. Then you just add more ice to it. But given the fact that it's going to warm up to about 35, 36 or so, at least above freezing, it couldn't hurt. Okay, I don't think it would hurt.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Bill.
Yeah, good luck on that. Yeah, that's always the issue when we have big storms and lots of heavy, wet snow. In fact, the snow is very heavy, high water content at this point. Brad Bennington text messaged me last night, which I thought was really – let me see if I can find that. Of course, you know, Brad used to be with the Builders Association of Southern Oregon, and he said – the moisture content of the snow is increasing. It will accumulate on the lighter snow, and the weight will increase dramatically. Tree breakage will likely take power lines out. There may be even some roof failures. And he says, most roof systems in our area were designed for 20 pounds per square foot of a load, and these types of loads right now on our roofs can easily go to 40 pounds per square foot or more if the snow gets rained upon after it has piled up. So something to watch out on your home, okay?